Not very far from here, but a different world. Beautiful up there, but really snowy. Well, I have some exciting things to share with you this morning. Some of them are unusual. We're going to have a message that's on a common topic, but with an uncommon insight given by God's Spirit. We're glad that you're able to be here this morning if you're a visitor. We are striving for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. And it is not just the doctrinal issues, which this certainly does refer to, but it's also the very spirit and the very heart of those in the New Testament church. All through the ages, those who have really trusted in God have shared a common spirit, a common knowledge, and the very secret of life. Our purpose is to seek to abide in love. 1 Corinthians 14:1 tells us that that should be our aim. The title of this morning's message is The Joy of the Lord. Now, this title comes as a rather unusual one for the subject, because the subject this morning is simply Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. As most of you know, that is the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, the blessed are you when scriptures. Some have considered this to be the epitome of New Testament teaching. I hesitate to call any of it the epitome. Just Jesus himself was the epitome. His personal presence is the epitome. Nothing else compares. The scripture says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." We have sung that passage. We have heard sermons on that passage. And yet, I wonder, really, if we fully have realized the blessing that it can be. Most of us do understand that the joy of the Lord in our lives gives us strength, doesn't it? God gives us joy. That gives us strength, right? Isn't that true? Amen. It's true. It's not a trick question. But there's more to it than that. In fact, way more to it than that. Things in this world are not always what they appear to be. Sometimes there is an underlying truth that escapes our attention. In fact, some things in this world are precisely the opposite of what they seem, of what we imagine, what we think, what we understand. The exact opposite. You really don't know how true that is. This morning we're going to get just a brief glimpse of that. And really that alone, I shouldn't say alone, but that more than the passage that we're considering itself is critically important. Here it goes. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What if we made God's joy our purpose, not our joy, not seeking Him so that He'll give us joy, but what if we made His joy the purpose of our day, the purpose of our lives? What if we lived just to give Him joy? Each child has the capacity to do that for their parent. They do. Those of you who are parents know what I'm talking about. Those little critters can just light up your life. when they are living in the moment and full of joy and just anxious anticipation, and their eyes get big like that, your heart just goes, wow, that is great. Why? Because they're yours. They belong to you. You are His. You belong to Him. And when you're delighted for the right reason, you light up His life. And that's a feat, no small feat, since He is light. The joy of the Lord. His joy is my strength. You say, wow, that's a new understanding or a different view. Maybe it shouldn't be different. Maybe that should occur to us right off the bat. Maybe when we pick up that scripture and read it, we should say, yes, His joy. His joy is what lights up my life. But then my joy is what lights up His life. Wow, what a strange concept. It's almost like oneness or something. No, get it? Okay. For you younger people, it might be likened to this. You meet the girl of your dreams, an absolute walking image of perfection. A heart that is tender and loving and giving, and she just delights to please you. And then you find out that the same thing is true for you. This is new territory, fellas. You find out that it's not only what you can get, but what you can give that makes this relationship so delightful. And you discover something new. And it delights you to see her delight. And it delights her to see your delight. And it's almost like, well, being one. Look out, you might wind up married. You see, that is God's plan. That's the way He designed it. That's His purpose. But most couples, young couples, when they get married, know one thing. And that is that, boy, she really looks good. And boy, he really he just makes me feel secure, you know. And it's me, me, me. And it's not one. It's two paths going separate ways. God's heart is to see His children truly love one another, forgetting about me and thinking about him or thinking about her. That might bring a whole new world if people really did that. To believe in that little secret of life is to believe not in a philosophy, but in a man. Jesus Christ Himself was the walking signpost, the ultimate example of that very principle. The scripture is not kidding when it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. And then the language indicates something that becomes overflowing, not just given in equal, but given in a greater measure than what you gave. How is that possible? Well, it's not possible, not in this world. Everything we observe shows us that you don't get something for nothing. The way you live your life, when you go to the store, you pay money, and you get a product in return. In a relationship, when you give, well, you get something in return. But if it's truly given, selflessly, for the purpose of being a true blessing to another, no desire for personal gain, but just emptied of self and filled with God's Spirit, giving, that is what it's all about. Jesus was a walking example of that. He told us time and time again, and probably most concisely, in Acts 20:35. Acts 20:35 says, give, and it will be given unto you. Overflowing. You know, this world's in an energy crisis. Are you aware of that? Everybody's fighting over oil, of all things. Greasy oil. Ugh. Why are they fighting over it? Because energy, that's why. What is so big about the energy? Well, without it, basically, the world we live in doesn't work. Your batteries go low, you're in trouble. Your gasoline runs short, you're in trouble. Your heating oil runs short, right now, you're really in trouble. Energy. There's something beyond that. But I don't have time to tell you about that now because we have to stick to the message. But I have a feeling that the Lord will provide another opportunity. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Notice there that, pardon me, it's not there, but I'll tell you about it. Notice in your Bible, when you read that passage, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It says Lord in all capital letters. All capital letters. Why is that? Because if you look in your New American Standard and some other translations, it says, because it says, the joy of Jehovah is your strength. That is the formal name, the proper name, of God Himself, Jehovah. And the scribes during that time didn't consider that they were worthy to pen the actual name of God. And so they sometimes handled this by making the letters and just really an abbreviation. Even the abbreviation was made with gold ink. I guess it was some sort of plating or something. I'm not sure of the details. But the Lord, Jehovah, God Himself, because believe me, when some people say God, they're not meaning the God that we see in here. They're not meaning the Lord, Jehovah. Some of them are meaning the God of this world. Let us seek God's joy. Do you see the point? Let us seek His joy, not our joy from Him, but our gift to Him of joy. Perhaps if we saw everything from the standpoint of God's eye and God's heart, perhaps then our lives would be different. Let us seek God's joy. Our text this morning, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. In this text, the Lord gives 9 blessings. That's significant. 9 times He said, blessed are you, Jesus. Sermon on the Mount, some people call this the Sinai of the New Testament. Most significant thing in the Old Testament, the giving of the law. Most significant in the New Testament, God sharing His love for us through Jesus Christ. And that became most apparent in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, 7 are filled with wisdom beyond compare. Those 3 short chapters say more than all the books of the wisest men ever to live on this planet. Way more. And so much better because you don't have to read through all the garbage. It's just to the point. It's there. And it's like that in the Sermon on the Mount. 9 blessings. One of the things that you might consider is this, just for a moment here. Not only are there 9 blessings in this passage, but the number 9 might seem familiar to some of you. What What is there in the scripture that also numbers 9 that might be comparable, perhaps? Love, joy, peace, patience. What's that? Yes, the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, there are 9 elements indicating the fruit of the Spirit. I'll tell you something kind of interesting, just a side note. I had a hard time not making this a sermon all by itself. If you go through the fruit of the Spirit, you find that they match up. They match up very nicely with the 9 blessings that Jesus put here in this passage. Good homework assignment. Go home, match them up, get involved in about 10 or 12 different translations. Whoops. Okay. How does that happen? We want to go back. Further back. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Yes, okay, that's good. Okay, sorry, the PowerPoint was having a fit. Bill Gates. In this section in Matthew 5, God's blessing is pointed out, and our usual thought in seeking God's blessing is much like Jacob's thought was in seeking God's blessing. What did Jacob do to receive God's blessing? Anybody know? He wrestled for it. How did you know that, Becky? Just came to your mind? Jacob wrestled for God's blessing. He wanted the blessing. That was a good idea, don't you think? Well, maybe somehow God honored it. Have you ever thought maybe that was stupid, but God honored it anyway because he wanted the Lord's blessing? Maybe so. You know, what if Jacob had just said, I want to be a blessing to the Lord. I am making myself a blessing to you, Lord. My life this day is yours. I'm your servant. My heart is to bless you. Do you think God might have blessed him? I think so. And do you think that would have been easier than wrestling? I think so. Just a thought, a lot of things in this world are the opposite of what we think. Maybe, somehow, if Jacob had decided to bless God instead of being blessed by God, well, just maybe everything would have been a lot different from what it is. What if, instead of seeking God's blessing ourselves, what if we decided to give him a blessing? After all, the scripture does say it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. I know of 4 people who blessed the Lord in the Old Testament. Noah did, David did, Solomon did. They said, blessed be the Lord. Every one of them. They were blessing God. And do you know who else reflected that blessing? Solomon said, blessed be the Lord. Had Solomon been blessed? Yeah. So the Queen of Sheba comes along, and she saw how Solomon had been blessed. And you know what she said? She said, blessed be the Lord. The Queen of Sheba. Was she a believer in Jehovah? Well, evidently, she was really influenced by what she saw. God is blessed amazingly when we cease from seeking ourselves and begin to truly seek him. So, as we looked at the scripture that said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and considered it from a different angle, the joy of the Lord is our strength, let's consider this. Let us seek God's blessing and not wrestle for it, but give to Him. Give, and it will be given unto you. There are secrets within the kingdom of God that hide themselves from those that don't have the eyes to hear, or the eyes to see, or the ears to hear. And they hide themselves in places where those who get bored with scriptural things just cannot find them. Or in places where those who want something really enormously complex and confounding and intellectual as their secret of life just cannot find it. Or those who are plagued by the curse of spiritual pride will never find it. This sermon, the message that Jesus gave, Sermon on the Mount, gives us a key to how we can bless Him. It's sad that so many people read this thing as though it's an instruction book on how to get blessed by God. What if we gave instead of receiving? It is more blessed to give than to receive, according to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text, Matthew 5, 1 through 12, getting on to the text now, beginning verse 1 and 2, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach He began to teach them. Now notice something about this. It can easily elude our attention. Notice this. It says that the disciples came to him and he began to teach them. If you're anything like I am, I spent a lot of years in my life thinking that if the Lord had something for me, well, he would come to me with it. I just didn't connect. His disciples came to him, it says, and he began to teach them. From the time that I came to him, he began to teach me and continues to teach me. But that's an entirely different approach from just sitting and waiting for him to come to you and teach. If you desire to have His wisdom, His heart, His knowledge, His love, then you need to go to Him. Recognize who He is. Forget about the world's shoddy opinion of Christianity and what's politically correct. Go to Him. I guarantee there is no comparison to any other source anywhere. And, you know, this is not just for those who've never heard of Christ before. This is for those of us who have heard of Him and need to remember that. All the treasures of wisdom are hidden in Christ. There aren't any anywhere else. Scripture says it. So, this morning, as we look at His words, let us come to Him so that He can teach us. In verse 4, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Interesting. It's almost like the opposite of what you expect, wouldn't it? Doesn't it seem that way? Well, when somebody is mourning, that's not a very positive thing. It's like profound sadness. And yet, it says that those people are blessed, for they will be comforted. Think about that for a minute. What does that really mean? Blessed are those who feel sorry for themselves. Blessed are those who mourn because, well, you know, they're just not getting everything that they want out of life. I don't picture that. I don't even term that mourning. Do you? Here's what I picture as mourning. I picture this as real mourning. When somebody looks out at the world and sees how it is and weeps, knowing how God wanted it to be and what His plan was, that is mourning. When a couple have loved one another for all their lives and are like one, and one loses the other, and they mourn because they've lost part of themselves, that is mourning. When somebody says, oh no, my stocks are only worth 40% of what they were last year, and starts weeping, that's not mourning. That is not mourning. May feel like it to them, but it's not the deal that Jesus is talking about when He says, blessed are those who mourn. You see, this has something to do with mourning for what is truly sad, for what really should make our hearts sad. And when you're sad like that, when you mourn like that, God will comfort you. It may take a little while, that's okay. He will provide you comfort that will give you joy. In fact, every one of these, where it says blessed, it's talking about giving a kind of joy that comes from God, from His heart, being satisfied and filled with what He sees in you. And when you mourn like that, God is seeing something in you that He wants to and will, and nothing can stop. He wants to bless you. Because, you see, that is a selfless thing. That is giving rather than receiving. Rather than heaping and getting more and more for ourselves, like the world, we step aside from the world, believe in Jesus, and give with no expectation or even hope of return. But just because we believe in Him, we trust Him. Just because I trust Him, I can give truly, with no expectation of return. That's why Jesus emphasized how important it is to do what you do in secret. Don't make a point out of it. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just do it as a secret between you and God. And then you will share many secrets with God. Notice here, in reference to verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Wow! That very verse, the joy of the Lord is your strength, is introduced by this. Do not grieve. Even in the midst of the worst things that you can imagine, God can plant a joy in your heart that is independent of outward circumstances, and it will override anything else. Now, when I say independent of outward circumstances, I'm expressing a definition of the word blessed. According to the Amplified Version and some other sources, that term, translated blessed, means a blessing, a joy, a happiness that is independent from outside circumstances. Isn't that true here? Blessed are those who mourn. Outside circumstances bring mourning. God's Spirit brings, as we turn things over to Him, comfort. Brings joy in the midst of the pain. You see how many things in this world are not what they seem? God turns them around and makes them a blessing to you. Just like Joseph's brothers heard him speak the words, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it to me for good. The bad stuff out there that Satan means to us for evil, God means it for good, and He will turn it to good when your heart is given to Him, when you're called according to His purpose, and love Him, and love Him, that's giving, not receiving. All things work together for the good. Do you know all these things that he mentioned here, the nine blessings, all work together? They're intertwined. Did you know that the nine fruit of the Spirit all work together? They're intertwined, and intertwined with these. Because God's Spirit is the source. His nature, His heart, His love are all one and produce the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is only the object. It is what is produced as a result of His Spirit. It is the presence of God that brings the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's not head knowledge, having, you know, umpteen verses memorized. That's good. I encourage you. But it is His presence. In the midst of the darkness, when His presence is with us, there is nothing that will shake us. You say, well, yeah. Well, a few things, maybe. No. When His presence is truly with us, there is nothing that will shake us. Our faith is in Him. He will honor that faith. He will be there with you and give you comfort no matter how deep the storm is. And as the Lord Jesus reached down His hand, as Peter was sinking, He does for us. It is by faith that we were saved, and it's by faith that we are being saved and will be saved. He reached down His hand to Peter and picked him up out of His compassion. Peter was doing fine, walking right out to Jesus, oblivious to his surroundings, and then he noticed his surroundings. The joy, the faith in his heart was motivating him. He was walking on that water, and then he looked around at circumstances, and he began to sink. And Jesus mercifully put out His hand and lifted him up. Wow, what a picture. What a picture of our lives. What a picture of my life. His grace continues to be my sustenance. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. After the things we've been talking about, you may not feel so sure that that's such a blessing. But, you know, this world, I don't know. I wouldn't want it. I don't know about you. But there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Do I understand that? No, I really don't. But I believe it. And that new earth is going to be worth having. And I'm sure that's what it's talking about. Now, blessed are the meek. What does that mean? Well, meek is kind of weak, isn't it? Meek people, weak people. Not? Okay, I'm getting a few no's because they know. It doesn't mean weak. God's people humble themselves under the mighty hand of God that they might be exalted in due time. I say, there it is, the selfish motive. No. That they might be exalted only to glorify God. If I am ever exalted in any of your hearts or minds, may God grant that it would only be for the purpose of His glory, because there is no glory here. His Spirit gives me everything that I have that's worth having. In and of myself, I am nothing. We all are nothing. It's just up to us to realize that. Blessed are the meek, perhaps the people that recognize that they must depend on God, because without Him there is no life. It is not weakness. It is humility that He's referring to. Meekness is strength held in reserve. Weakness is trying to be strong when you're really not. It's false. It's not true. Weakness is not the fruit of the Spirit. meekness is. It comes from strength, that is, from God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Next, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, one translation there in the promise, they will be filled, says, they will be completely satisfied. That sounds good. But blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does that mean? Does it mean that, you know, I hunger and thirst to see the righteousness of God around in His kingdom, in the world even? Well, yeah. Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's a good vision. Seems appropriate, but perhaps there's something more here. In that term, righteousness, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that term righteousness means uprightness. Those who hunger and thirst to be upright, to be genuinely upright in their heart, in their spirit, in their lives, in their conduct, I hunger and thirst for that. And if I do that, it is a blessing to God. So you see all these things as we actually live them, as we believe them, as we do them, become a blessing to God. As they're a blessing to Him, He blesses us. And as He blesses us, well, we bless Him. And I think it's kind of like a perpetual motion thing. We should hunger and thirst to be upright. Verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Mercy is an act of love. It's giving out of the love of your heart. It's helping someone who is in need. It's helping the helpless. Taking care of the sick. Taking care of those who perhaps are sick of heart, those who are afflicted. Those are acts of mercy. It is an act of mercy to forgive a brother or sister, to invoke the very love of God, the forgiveness of God in their behalf. It is an act of mercy to forgive those who do not deserve to be forgiven, which of course isn't like us. Yeah. There are people who don't deserve to be forgiven, but well, we do because we're, or are we? For those of you listening on the internet, that last thought didn't convey itself very well because you had to see my face. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. What is the alternative to following that? If a person, being a Christian, following God's word, is unmerciful, they will not receive mercy. Jesus, Lord's Prayer, one thing He reiterated after His prayer was, for unless you forgive others their sins against you, God will not forgive you. Or pardon me, unless you forgive others their sins against you, God will not forgive you. So, mercy doesn't include just merciful acts, but it includes a merciful attitude, being forgiving. It is so ironic that here the Lord Jesus comes along demonstrating for us self-sacrifice for the sake of the forgiveness of others. And we go, wow, that's great, I want it, I'm going to take it, I'm going with that, and then wander on our way and take our hands and put them around the neck of somebody close to us and saying, you owe me this, and you owe me that, pay what you owe. That's Matthew 18, by the way. Matthew 18 encourages a great, abundant extension of forgiveness. And that's its purpose. So blessed are the merciful. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Is that like the greatest of the blessings? Maybe, but hang on. That's not all there is. It's a pretty good one. They will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. What does that really mean? How many people do you know that are pure in heart? Well, just yourself, probably. No, but if you think that, you're not pure in heart. You know, I don't know anybody pure in heart. So it must be a mistake in the Scripture. Blessed are pure in heart. Is it a blessing for nobody? No. It is a blessing for somebody. Who is that? Somebody who has, by God's grace, His Spirit. His Spirit gives us a pure heart. Only He can do that. Only He can take something that is defiled, something that's deformed, and make it right. He can do that. I'm going to take a moment, even if it takes me overtime, to share this with you. Don't anybody leave now. God's Spirit. People argue about God's Spirit. People want the gifts that come from God's Spirit. Simon the sorcerer wanted it, and you know what happened to him. It wasn't pretty. People want to have special gifts, in other words, blessings, from His Spirit. So, Acts 2:38. Repent, the people were told who wanted to come to Jesus, who wanted to be forgiven. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow, there it is. We can get some kind of gifts from the Holy Spirit. No, it isn't. No, you're not reading it straight. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. But the gift of the Holy Spirit that it talks about there is exactly that. God actually gives His Spirit. What is that? A oneness with Him. His nature, His heart actually becomes yours. You say, no, I don't think so. God, man, you know. But the gospel is God and man. Oneness with the God, the Lord of the entire universe. We become one through His Spirit and one with each other through His Spirit. If we really believe, really give ourselves, that is true. So you see, God promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Himself. He's saying, I'm giving myself to you. You have your sins forgiven. You repent, have your sins forgiven. I give myself to you. Should we do any less for Him? We should be on the same page. Isn't that exciting? Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Does it agonize you sometimes when you see people fighting, hassling with each other over needless, childish things? We see our children fight with each other, and we try to get them to understand why you don't need to fight. You know, there's plenty to go around. There are plenty of toys. Share with each other and you'll both have what you want, or all three of you, or five or six, or whatever it is. If they all share, you know they'll get along. But what happens in this world? People are selfish. And they say, that's mine. Somebody else says, no, it isn't. It's mine. Okay, well, it's 20% yours and 80% mine. Oh, childish foolishness. People don't understand it is in giving that we receive. We live in a world of people that take so that they can give, and they consider that quite noble. Well, as long as I get rich so that I'll have plenty to give to others, that's okay. But what about being poor so that you can give beyond what you have? Think of the widow's mite. M-I-G-H-T, I spell it. Her mite was in this, that although she had very little, she gave it away. It was more than what she had she gave away. It was powerful. It was truly might, because she was giving beyond what she had. Blessed are the poor. Actually, Jesus teaches that in places. Why? Because you know what? They don't cling to the stuff they have because they don't have anything. Right? Blessed are the poor. Well, blessed are the peacemakers because they're forgetting about themselves. You know what selfish people do when they see a conflict between two people? They say, oh yeah. Oh yeah, this is going to be good. I remember that from grade school? Oh, you remember that from the office, yeah. Some people never do grow up, do they? Yeah. Two people going to have a fight. All right, let's see. I'm going to bet on this one. Oh yeah, I don't think so. The other one's going to get him. That is not a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. People who grieve because they see others fighting when they don't need to. You know, a fight can be stopped when you have two people willing to stop. You have one, doesn't work. Doesn't work. Because he'll just be pummeled into the ground. But a fight can be stopped when you have two people willing to stop. Making peace is not a glamorous occupation, and you'll see that even from the scriptures. There is a price to pay when you try to make peace. You often wind up the one getting hit. It says here, they shall be called sons of God. Because, why? Because that's his nature. You demonstrate his nature, it means you're his son. It doesn't come by accident. Number 10, verse number 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what? Almost half of the text of the Beatitudes follows verse 10. Everything else has been huge, hasn't it? You know what happens from verse 10 on? The entire rest of it is committed to dealing with persecution. Being on the other side of persecution. It tells that we have a special blessing. In fact, in these three verses, 10, 11, and 12, two times it says blessing, or a blessed are. Two times. And this is really just one subject. Persecution. He reserved his double blessing for those who are persecuted. If you've been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, God bless you. And he does, and he will, and nobody can stop it. Because you are a real Christian. When you experience that and you just get up and keep on walking, it proves that you mean business. You are especially blessed. You have a double blessing. Have you ever been fired from a job because you were upright, you were doing the right thing, you stood for the right thing, you believed in Jesus? Have you ever been fired from a job for it? Some of you have and don't even know it. It's what happened behind the scenes you never saw. People ridiculing you, people really jealous because you're such a goody-goody, so committed to the right thing. Won't ever lie on one of your worksheets or your timesheets, you are especially blessed. Even though you don't know that it was persecution, I'm telling you right now, there are many, many people here that are suffering persecution in their lives right now and don't even know it. That doesn't stop the blessing. You keep on going, no matter what, God will bless you. Blessed are you when people insult you. Oh yeah, Mr. Christian. When they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. In other words, because you're a Christian. Because you're good, because you try to do the right thing, people will say all kinds of evil against you. Does that make sense? No. Is there something grossly wrong about that? Yes. And the Lord knows it, He sees it, and He will bless you. Then verse 12. Rejoice and be glad. What? People are insulting you? They're making fun of you? They're criticizing you? They're making up lies about you? Rejoice and be glad? Excuse me. It says it. It says, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in Him. That word great means great in intensity. Great in magnificence. Your reward in heaven is magnificent. Believe it. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. When it says, rejoice and be glad, do you know what it's saying? There's a little illumination on that in Luke chapter 6. Where Jesus is teaching many of the same teachings that He has here. And there it says, rejoice. And Jesus said, in that place, He said, jump for joy. Jump for joy. Okay, now, you've just been fired from your job. And you hear about some of the gossip that was going on in the background. Oh yeah, Mr. So-and-so, you know. And you go, yes. You go, praise God. And you feel it in your heart. You don't say it because you don't want anybody to see it, but in your heart you go, okay, it looks a little silly, but Scripture says, jump for joy. Jesus said it, jump for joy. When? Well, when all this stuff is happening to you. Why? Because even though it looks ugly and it looks like the end, maybe you feel like, you know, just turning in your chips. That's it. Got fired. Jesus said, jump for joy. Jump. I think He's trying to tell us something, that real blessings are independent from the stuff that's happening out there. Don't you think so? I think that He's saying that there are blessings that are deeper blessings because they're in the midst of the storm. Every one of these blessings that He gives are blessings in the midst of the storm. To put it in other terms, they absolutely are blessings in disguise. You want to see the blessings in your life? You're going to have to learn to recognize the blessings that are in disguise. I have a lot more to say about this, but some of you have appointments out there. Someday it won't be like this. We'll be able to have sermons that are almost as long as a full-scale movie, and nobody's going to get bored. God bless you if you've heard this and understood it this morning, if it's prompted something in your heart. It is of God's Spirit. And we're not going to have a song of invitation this morning, but I want to extend an invitation to you. Within your heart, an invitation to really believe when Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. This week, let us each pray for one another that we understand God's power, the power of giving and not receiving, the power of being emptied of self and filled with His very presence, His heart and His soul, His Spirit. Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll have closing announcements. Father, this morning, we come before You asking God that You would teach us to be a blessing to You, that You would teach us to be a continuing source of joy for You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one final thought with this picture. Once you become a parent, I don't mean a parent, I mean a parent. Once you become a parent, you learn something new about life, and that is the thing that just fills your heart with joy is seeing the joy on your kid's face, doesn't it? That's all it takes. You may not know what all is going on in their little heads, but just that bright look of joy fills your heart. God wants to see that look of joy on your face as you discover His presence and the independence that gives you in the midst of the darkest storm. God bless you.